Hello, you're listening to Passages for Life, the midweek service of Passages Church. We're continuing in our study of 1 Peter, and we're actually in chapter 2, and I can just hear the cheers because we spent so long in chapter 1. But there was a great message for us to absorb, and there is continually throughout this letter. It's an encouragement to the church who was under persecution by Nero. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot that was going on, a lot of loss. But he encourages them to be faithful and to be holy. And we pick up in chapter 2, and he starts off on that theme. Then he moves into the importance of our lives being founded upon Jesus, who is the chief cornerstone. And we're going to talk about that today. I'm glad you joined us, and I want to remind you that if you have any prayer requests or if I can minister to you, feel free to drop me a line. You can go to passagesforyou.com. It's passages number 4, letter U.com. And from there, you can send me a message. You can find out information about the church. And you can listen to past services that we have had. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you thanking you for another day and another opportunity that we can share together in studying your word, just taking your scripture at face value and applying it to our lives, as I know you would want us to do. So we thank you for your word, and as Peter said, your word endures forever, and we thank you for that. Thank you for all your blessings. I pray for each one who listens that they would be encouraged in their faith by being with us on this service today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Support me.
shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy."
Let's go.
We're continuing in our study in the first epistle of Peter, and today we're in chapter 2. One thing to keep in mind, we didn't have the chapter and the verse distinctions when the scripture was originally written. These were added just to help us be able to find particular passages. And so you might end chapter 1 thinking, okay, that is the context of that chapter. But think of it this way, that it just continues to flow because this was a letter that Peter had written to the early church who was under severe persecution. And he didn't divide it up into chapters and verses. He just wrote this letter of encouragement. And what we read about last week, the last few weeks, as they were under severe persecution by Nero, he was blaming the early believers for starting fires in Rome that some historians actually believe that he started himself just so he could blame the Christians, and he would persecute them, and they had seen many of their friends torched and tormented and tortured and even killed, and they had to be walking in fear. Now, this is about 30 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and they have been living faithfully. But now Peter is reminding them to be holy. He is reminding them to be set apart, to realize that their focus is more on the things not in this world, but in the heavenly realm. And he spends a great deal of what we've studied so far talking to them about holiness and even being holy. Now, he talks about conduct. And then we come to verse 1 here in chapter 2. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. Now, this seems to be connected in thought with what we have previously studied about holiness. But one point is very important for me to make right here, is that the absence of bad behavior doesn't make you holy. You know, just because he says rid yourself of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, ridding yourself of those doesn't make you holy. And that's important to know, because he points out that it is in salvation. Our salvation is focused on this Lamb of God, Jesus, who came to take away the sin of the world. And he reminds the early church of this. So then he continues on in a section that we're going to be thinking about stones. And, you know, a lot of things can be said about stones. When I was growing up, people would say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, the fact is, sticks and stones can break your bones. And actually, words can hurt you too. But that's one way we think of stones. And in the New Testament times, you might remember how there was the disciple Stephen, who was stoned to death. These rocks were thrown at him because of his faith. But there's another way that we see the use of a stone, and he calls it living stones. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans and chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts him will never be put to shame." Now, we have the picture here of Jesus being the foundation stone. A cornerstone is actually the very first block that is laid, and it's to be laid for the corner of a building. And by that block that's in the corner, all the other stones are laid so that the building can be square or it can be proper in proper measurements. And if a person was to set a stone in the ground and then start going away from that stone on both sides, you know, the building can get off-centered. So the cornerstone, it was important in that regard. It was also the stone that would be built on. And if you pulled the cornerstone out, then the blocks that were on it, they would collapse. And so this is the picture of what Jesus is, that he is that cornerstone that we build on. Now, a lot of times in our modern days, we use the word cornerstone, and it's a symbolic kind of thing. It's a ceremonial stone that's put in a building. You might have seen some buildings that have this rectangular piece on the brick, and it has like the year. Well, they call that a cornerstone, but that's not what we're talking about here. It's a foundation stone, and we then are to be living stones, rejected by others, but chosen by God. We're precious to him. We're like living stones built on him into a spiritual house. Now, he mentions something here about being a holy priesthood. Did you ever think about yourself as being part of the priesthood? You see, we got these denominations that want to have all these distinctions, and they want to have this order of things. But here's what the scripture says, that we, as believers in Christ, are to be a holy priesthood. That is, we are set apart for him, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, we don't need to go through a priest. You know, if I have Catholic friends who are listening to me, I'm not saying this to be offensive, but the truth of the matter is you do not need to go through a priest to get to God. You don't go through any saint to get to God. You don't go through Mary to get to God. You don't have to go through anyone to get to God except Jesus Christ. He is the great high priest. He's the one that we go through. So we are to be built upon him. Now, I like this when I read, "A chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Did you ever stop to think about that? That if we put our trust in him, we will never be put to shame. You know, you say, well, what about judgment day? Well, here's the way I picture judgment for the believer. You're in a courtroom, and I'm not saying that this is literally how it's going to be. This is just how I picture it. You're in a courtroom, and you have Satan, who is the prosecuting attorney, that says that this man is guilty. And you have Jesus, who is the defense attorney, and Father God, who is the judge. And Jesus said, "Father, this man's crimes have been paid for. It's been covered." And then God says, "Case dismissed." We'll never be put to shame for those who trust in him. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. Or for you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Again, that foundation stone. But then notice what he says, a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Now, a foundation stone or cornerstone, you know, you wouldn't think of a person tripping over it if something is built on it. But he's making a point here that the stone, they're not recognizing it. They're not looking at this stone and saying that this is valuable, that this could really have a purpose. They stumble, Peter says, because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Now, again, that's one of those references that makes you go, You know, when you think about it, it's what they were destined for. You know, it's like, did God design them to disobey? Well, no, but again, this amazing foreknowledge that God has, that he knows who are going to surrender to him, and he knows the ones who aren't. But you are a chosen people. He's talking to the believers there. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. And those are words that he would speak to us today. God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. See, we were in darkness. And most of the time when we're in darkness, we know that we're in darkness. You know, we might be looking for a light on our cell phone or something like that, or our headlights. If we're driving down the road, we can tell we're in darkness and we want to turn on the light. But in a spiritual sense, there's so many people who do not know that they are walking in darkness. But he's called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. And friends, that's anybody who chooses him. When he says you're a chosen people, royal priesthood, the invitation is open to anyone. Anyone who wants to know that you have salvation, this invitation is open to you. You know, Peter says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. But that doesn't mean that God has handpicked those. He gives us free will. Just as Adam and Eve were in the garden and they had free will to obey God or to disobey, so we do. God is not shutting anybody out. He knows. He's got foreknowledge. But if you desire to know him as your Savior, you can do that. You can be part of this chosen people, part of the royal priesthood, part of his holy nation, a part of God's special possession. And in Acts chapter 2, we read in the early church that when they came to him, that they confessed him, they believed in him, they repented of their sins, and they were baptized. And that day there were thousands who were added to the church. And I have this on my webpage, on our webpage, but I do want to mention this, that if there's ever anyone that desires to follow Christ in baptism, then please call me, because I will make arrangements that, regardless of where you live, that someone will be able to minister to you in that way. And if it's locally to where I am in the Nashville area, then I'll be glad to do that. It's part of our response and surrender to Christ. And so he has invited us to come to him. He says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy. So this invitation is for all those who would desire. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to you thanking you for the opportunity to study your word together. Let your words speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone who needs to receive you as Lord and Savior, that this would be the time that they would surrender. We thank you, Lord, for your invitation to us. Thank you for your love and the assurance that you give us as followers of yours. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save. Simply to thy cross I cling, naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die, wash me, Savior. Draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself, let me hide myself, let me hide myself in thee. Let me hide myself, let me hide myself, let me hide myself in thee. Let me hide myself, let me hide, let me hide myself in thee.
Thanks for listening to Passages for Life. We're glad we're able to come to you. This ministry is brought to you by Passages Church. This is our midweek service, just hoping to encourage the body of Christ by bringing a worship service experience that you can participate in the middle of the week. You know, many of our listeners attend church on Sunday morning, but some of them don't have another church service opportunity. and some aren't able to attend, so we want to reach out to all of you. If you have any prayer needs, be sure to drop a line and let me know, and you can rest assured to know that you will be prayed for. Please share our ministry with your friends and family. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next week on Passages for Life.